And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Yes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, he is their strength in the time of trouble.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Lord, we thank you for another chance to gather together in your house, and we thank you for this scripture that we've read with so many promises, so many things that we can learn from you. We pray you bless it to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I've talked before on this chapter, and remember, I talked about the Ten Commandments that are found in these first few verses of this 37th Psalm. It's just so good and so packed full of promises to the righteous that I didn't know where to stop reading, so I just read the whole chapter. Well, he starts out with commandment number one, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That's one and two commandments. Don't fret about the wicked. That's a trick of the devil. to get us to fret. Now, that doesn't mean don't have any judgment or any discernment, or don't be ignorant of who the wicked are. There's no excuse for being gullible or naive. We can know who the wicked are, and of course, as we read on through this chapter, we can be assured of the end of the wicked. See, we don't have to fret about the wicked because we have read the last chapter of the Bible. And we've read all these chapters, including this one, that tells us the wicked are not going to get by with their wickedness. Nobody gets by with wickedness. I've never gotten by with wickedness myself. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so every man has some reaping to do from his wickedness. So there's no need to fret. The wicked don't enjoy sin nearly as much as the advertisements and the propaganda of the world would lead us to believe. I never did enjoy sin that much. The Scripture says there is pleasure in sin for a season. It never says there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. It never even says there's joy in sin, because I think it uses that word pleasure, because pleasure is a function of the body. We can experience pleasure in the body because of some pleasing sensation. We've satisfied some lust of the flesh, and so therefore we experience some pleasure. Yeah. But we can, while we're experiencing the pleasure of sin, we have the anxiety that goes along with it, especially if we have the fear of God. Now it talks about some who are wicked or so wicked, it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And really, it's a good thing if you can enjoy the pleasures of sin, because you have such condemnation and guilt and a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation and so on. You have that fear of God and that dread that comes over you and keeps you from really finding any joy or any lasting joy in sin. Don't fret about evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. They may cheat. Someone just this last week or so was telling me how to, that I work with, was telling me how I could cheat on my taxes. How I, if they don't pay in a check, they were saying, and so there's no documentation of this, then it's just cash to you, and you don't have to claim it, and you won't have to pay any taxes on it. And I said to them, first of all, I said, well, eventually, you may do that for a long time, but eventually, you get caught. And then I said, secondly, I'm a God-fearing man, and so whether I get caught by men or not, I'm already caught because God sees what I'm doing, and I will pay for it. God chastises us. The Scripture even talks about He chastises the heathen. God even chastises, certainly it tells us He chastises His children. Paul talked about that in Corinthians. So don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, even if it seems like they are prospering in this world so much. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. We should not fret or be envious of the wicked, because we should have an eternal perspective. And we should be looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, at the invisible world. If we have an eternal perspective, I want to tell you, if you're fretting about the wicked, And you're envious against the workers of iniquity. You just don't have the right outlook on life. Or maybe I should say you don't have the right uplook. You're not looking in the right places. You're not walking in the fear of the Lord. Commandment number 3, trust in the Lord. And number 4, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The danger of the wicked, I'm going to tell you, you're going to trust in something. Some people trust in their own self, their own heart. They lean to their own understanding.
Right.
That's a foolish thing to do. Our mind can deceive us. And we can be absolutely certain we're right in our mind, and we can be wrong. I remember one time I used to work with some men who would bet over anything. They gambled at work. They would get in an argument. One of them would say it's this way, and the other would say it was the other way, and I'll bet you $5. And so they would bet, and then they would call the library and find out who was right. Well, they got into an argument about what's the capital of Missouri. This is my mind played a trick on me. And I said, well, they argued back and forth about it, and they bet on it. I wasn't going to bet. But they asked me, and I said, well, the capital of Missouri is Independence. And I just knew it was Independence. But it wasn't Independence. It was Jefferson City. Well, the trick my mind played was Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, so I associated Jefferson City with independence, and I was just certain that was correct. But it wasn't correct. My mind deceived me. And so it's foolish for us, even when we think we're right, we can be so wrong. Our mind can play a trick on us. We know in part and we prophesy in part. It's foolish to trust in flesh. It's foolish to trust in man. Then another thing, a rich man puts his trust in his riches, in his money. A lot of people trust in money. But the Scripture says all his riches can't deliver him in the evil time. God can send a sickness on us, or a disaster our way, that all the money in the world can't buy us deliverance from that. Just ask Brother Job, and of course he didn't trust in his riches, but he was the richest man in the East, and all of that couldn't save his children from that windstorm, and couldn't save all his flocks and herds, and that was just because the devil got after Job. Got permission to go after him. So, but Job, he never lost his trust in the Lord. Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Don't ever underestimate the power of doing good. We live in such a time that so many nationwide ministries put down people who do good and who believe in doing good. And they say, you know, I know they may say they're not putting it down, but when you say that what you do has nothing to do with your salvation, and works don't play any part at all, my Bible says, faith without works is dead. And show me your faith by your works. Now I have to qualify that, because our works ought to spring from our faith and not vice versa. Don't get the cart in front of the horse, but we certainly ought to do good. Now the way our works spring from our faith is, I believe what the Scripture says. For example, to give to the poor, to pay tithes and support the work of the Lord, to pray, to fast, to meditate and study God's Word. I believe that because God's Word said it. And then I act on that faith and I do all of those things. And those are the works of faith. And those are the kind of works that God will bless. Read the faith chapter there in Hebrews chapter 11. Every one of those men had faith. And every one of those men did something as a result of their faith.
Right.
By faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. And on it goes. By faith, they wrought righteousness and subdued kingdoms and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire. But their faith was immediately followed by works. And it always will be genuine faith that comes from God is going to be followed by works. And if it's not, it's dead. Faith without works is dead. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Right.
Oh, this generation knows how to delight in everything but the Lord. They know how to delight in sports and pleasures of all kinds, and drunkenness and parties and everything, but they really don't know how to delight themselves in the Lord. A lot of them, if they do go to church or they do serve the Lord, they don't really take any joy or any delight in it. They just do it because they're afraid not to, or they think they ought to. They have to. But we can learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, we need not claim this promise that God's going to give us all the desires of our heart if we don't delight in him.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a secret here. If you delight yourself in the Lord,
yeah,
it will change the desires of your heart. And they will be such godly desires and such good and righteous and holy desires that God will want to give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
But if you don't delight in the Lord, your desires are going to be evil. And they're going to be, even your prayer could be wicked.
Yeah.
They ask and receive not because they ask amiss that they may consume it upon their own lust. They've got those evil lusts, those evil desires, and that's what they pray for. And so God can't give them that because every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.